once again welcome you to Discussing the Truth broadcast on this sixth day of October in the year of our Lord 2016. Broadcasting live from Birmingham, Alabama, I'm your announcer, Antonio Green. Our host for this broadcast is Pastor James A. Dansby, and our co-host is Minister Kevin Pierce. We also have on the panel today Minister Milton Dudley once again. And our prayer is that God the Father, through Jesus Christ, his Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak truth to your hearts. Pastor Dansby.
Amen. Thank you, Antonio. Truly, truth is marching on and to victory, and regardless of what it seemed like or what it may look like, we do understand that God's word will not return unto him void. Amen?
Amen.
But God's word will accomplish that purpose for which God has sent it out.
Amen.
And also, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what?
Set you free.
Shall make you free. Amen. And we thank God for his word today. We thank God that we have the assurance that his word will accomplish the purpose for which he has sent it forth. Before we get started, we're going to ask Minister Pierce to ask God's blessing upon the broadcast today.
Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, dear Lord. We thank you for the day of salvation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We thank you for this opportunity through this broadcast to speak to our listeners, dear Lord, and soften their hearts and minds about the subject today.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Lord, we pray that someone just gets closer through your word of the truth that's being discussed today. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we believe that where two or three gather together in his name, he will truly be in the midst.
Amen.
And we thank God that his word is true. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God. Once again, on our panel today, we have Minister Pearson, Minister Dudley, and Brother Antonio, and myself. And we are discussing God's truth today.
Amen.
Amen. For the last two broadcasts, we've been discussing the evil of compromising God's truth. So this will be part three of our discussion, and we're also looking at the effect that compromising God's word has upon the world, upon the church, and also especially upon the black community.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our discussions are so far have been based upon scriptures that we found in the book of Exodus, the 8th chapter, 25th verse through 28th verse. Also, Exodus 10, 8 through 11, and 10 again, and that's 24 through 26. These are the verses that we've been discussing the last few weeks. And in the book of Exodus, God is he's bringing his people out of Egyptian bondage by the great prophet Moses. And as we already stated, Egypt is a symbol, a representation of the world.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Pharaoh is a representation of the
devil himself.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh here is reluctant to allow God's people to go free. Instead, he offers to them four options, four compromises. And we'll still at this point discussing that first compromise, compromising option that the devil put forth. We're going to ask, Exodus 8:25. Let's read that first of all. This is the first compromising a mechanism that he put forth in order to try to slow God's people from being obedient to God. And that's Exodus, the 8th chapter, 25. Somebody read that for me.
And Pharaoh called for Moses, for Aaron, and said, "Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land." And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do,
mm-hmm.
for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?"
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. So this is the offer that Pharaoh, could we say the devil himself,
mm-hmm.
Because this he has no new tricks. He's using the same devices that he used from the very beginning. Instead of allowing us to be obedient to God, he offers compromising different compromises to us in order to get us to go what we call straddle the fence. Amen.
Amen.
To have do God's will. And do, have doing God's will is not doing God's will at all.
Amen.
Amen. And we know that. But he said, now, you know, it's all right for you guys to leave. I'm going to allow y'all to leave and be obedient to God, but do it in the land. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of equal to what they were saying we hear today. Can't we all just get along?
No, that's right.
But it's not God's will that we get along. It's God's will that we obey him. Amen.
Right.
And God commanded his people to come forth out of Egypt into the wilderness where they could serve God and receive further instructions as to what God would have them to do. Exodus 11 and 7, we're going to ask Mr. Pierce to read that for us. And Exodus 11 and 7.
Exodus 11 and 7 reads, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue,
mm-hmm.
against man or beast,
yes.
that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference
yes, yes.
between the Egyptians and Israel."
Amen. Amen. We looked at that scripture on last broadcast session. God has put a difference. He's made a difference.
Amen.
There
mm-hmm.
is a difference between the children of God and the children of the
Amen.
World. Amen.
Amen.
And these are the lines that God has drawn. And we cannot overrule them. We cannot add to them. We cannot take from those lines.
Amen.
We just got to obey God. Amen. And this is something God done from the beginning. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, we'll find out that it has not changed. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Read that, Brother Dudley, please.
It said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness?
Yes.
And what communion has light with darkness?
Mm-hmm.
And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel?
Yes.
And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?
Mm-hmm.
For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them,
mm-hmm.
and be ye separate, said the Lord.
Yes.
And touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and daughters, said the Lord Almighty."
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we're accused of, taking scripture out of the Old Testament and, making a difference that we read just a moment ago in Exodus 11 there.
Mm-hmm.
And people say that, you know, that's the Old Testament. You know, we're not under the Old Testament. We just read New Testament, right?
Amen. That's right.
Second Corinthians, right. And I don't see where there's any difference there, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Look like God has made it a little bit stronger. Be not unequally yoked together.
Amen. Right.
Is that what he said there?
That's what he said.
Amen. And we are still to come out from among them mm-hmm. and to be separate. And that's what the Lord has demanded of us. But now the devil would say to us, well, you know, we can all get along. We can mix together. You mm-hmm. guys can serve your God and be a part of the world at the same time. But God says no to that.
No.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. No, we can't all get along, brother. It's just not going to happen like that. Amen? Hebrews 13. Let's look at that also before we get into a further discussion here. Hebrews 13, 12 and 13. 12 and 13.
All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. And it reads,
mm-hmm.
Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people, with his own blood,
yes.
suffered without the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp,
yes.
bearing his reproach.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Outside. That's what the Lord said. We have to go outside of the camp, the world,
mm-hmm.
outside of the norms mm-hmm. of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go outside where there is suffering, brothers.
Amen.
Amen. I believe Amen. The reason a lot of us compromise is because we don't want to be alienated,
mm-hmm.
criticized, and don't want to really suffer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are called to go out, that means we're going to be criticized and ostracized,
Amen.
And,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have to suffer sometimes.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's the reason a lot of Christian compromise the Word of God, because they just don't want to be numbered as being an odd person,
mm-hmm.
One that don't fit in, Truly, we don't fit in. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I think we just got to learn how to accept.
Amen.
What God has done. God has called us. God has separated us. You know, when I used to play baseball, you know, every time we got through playing baseball, they had to reline the field. Mm-hmm. You know, put them white lines all down mm-hmm. here and all mm-hmm. around here. The lines were drawn that in order to tell us when we've gotten out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Many Christians, leaders, and regular Christian people have gotten out of bounds today.
Amen.
Because they have removed
the lines.
Amen. The old landmarks that God has set. They have removed them, and therefore they have compromised the word of God, and therefore they think they can be blessed by doing so. But we have to obey God's word fully.
Right. Amen.
In order to be blessed of God. So that's another deception of the enemy, is to tell us that we can halfway obey and then expect God to bless us, you know, just the same.
Right.
But it's not like that. Amen.
Amen.
So it seems like it's the fear of suffering, for the name of the Lord, or being criticized, or being called different or not fitting in. That tends to make people want to compromise God's word. Mm-hmm. And now, today we want to look at some great Christian leaders that have compromised God's truth. Because I believe at the top, when the head is wrong, then the body usually.
Absolutely. Amen.
In That's many right. cases, because some believers are not strong enough to really stand.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they have a tendency of putting their trust and faith in leaders, you know,
Amen.
Especially when they preach the gospel to a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
And most of our Christians are not really mature enough to know that where the lines are drawn and how, when they go over the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we have embraced some of the leaders that have been at the forefront of preaching the gospel in the last maybe 50 years or whatever the case might be. But I think that it's because of the fear of suffering, of being called different, being called odd, or maybe the world, even the devil coming against us to, you know, make life miserable for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason a lot of people have compromised the word of God. Now, we want to just like to look at a few leaders and kind of talk about some of the things that that I have read and observed from the leadership. And number one, we want to look at Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Billy Graham. Billy Graham has been at the forefront of evangelism for many, many years. He's gotten old now, still alive. But, you know, we're not saying that he didn't do a lot of good because, yes, he preached the gospel. And I believe some people were saved. I really don't believe it was as many as, you know, they would, you know, the figures they would give.
All right. Amen.
But
Amen.
I'm sure because, you know, God uses us when we are directly in the path of doing what he tells us to do. And also when we're not, you know, it's at God's discretion to use who he wants to.
Who he wants to.
When he wants to. And how he wants to. Amen. But now, Billy Graham. From what I can read, and I have, I've got quite a few books on Billy Graham. I followed his movement for many, many years, and from the beginning, I saw where he had compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Erased the lines of demarcation, the lines, the boundary line that God had placed as far as the Word of God is concerned. I saw from the very beginning, and many other people have seen the same thing also, how he compromised God's truth. And how you went out of bounds, amen?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if you got an inflated ego, that would tend to kind of pull you out of bounds sometime when you're looking to please people or looking to get the applause of people.
Mm-hmm.
That can sometimes take you out of bounds, amen?
Amen.
But I noticed from the very beginning when he started his crusade that he made it very plain that he was not going to go into a city unless he had the endorsements. He had to receive an invitation from the mayor of that particular city.
Mm-hmm.
He had to have sponsorships from a number of sponsors to sponsor that great gathering usually at the big gardens or wherever the large capacity stadiums were. Mm-hmm. Yes, he had to have the endorsements of local business, regardless of what kind of business it may have been. But he had to have their endorsement and also the endorsement from all of the church, the majority of the churches in that area, regardless of what they believed, what their doctrines were. These are things he demanded before he even would consent to even going into those kind of places.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, to me, was a crossing the lines right there.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. He was dependent upon the people on the outside to more or less endorse his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But brothers, do God? You think God? You know, it's like today, churches out on the street begging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the 7-Elevens or the Walmarts, mm-hmm. you know, begging so we can build our church and mm-hmm. we got program. What do you guys think about it? I mean, that's a simple. Let's start. We can start at home. We see that happening every day. Is it okay for churches to beg the world?
No, it's
to
not.
Endorse
no.
them.
No,
it's not. And the reason why, all through the Bible, God has provided his man for his work.
Okay.
God's work done his way, God will provide for.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Every
mm-hmm.
example in the Bible, from Jesus, Peter, Paul, the Old Testament prophets, all these people were provided with the funds, with the needs, with the sustenance from God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
We never have to ask the outside world for anything to do God's business.
Amen.
Amen.
If we
Amen.
Have to involve the world to do God's business, then mm-hmm. the world has a say-so in God's business.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So it's so unattractive, and it brings reproach, mm-hmm. in my opinion, to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When the church is in Walmart or on the street corner,
mm-hmm.
asking
mm-hmm.
for donations for the house of the Lord that the Lord's supposed to be taking care of.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Okay. Anybody else? You know, and Kevin, Pastor, that's good, because, you know, when I look at that, I see that it's, to me, it's like, you're not trusting God.
Right.
You know, his word says, I'll supply all of your needs Amen. According to my riches and glory in
Amen.
Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So we got to literally stand on his word.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that he don't want us to have, then he's not going to bless that anyway for us to receive that, what we're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So it's like a mistrust in the Lord.
That's right. Okay.
Amen.
Okay, Tony?
And I'm sure we'd all agree, brothers, that this we're living as well in a spirit world,
mm-hmm.
as well.
Amen.
And there's spirit on things such as money,
okay, mm-hmm. yes.
music,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And when you bring those evil spirits from the drug dealer coming out of Walmart that's bought a box of donuts for your ministry into mm-hmm. the house of God. That sounds to me like confusion, brothers. You're bringing mm-hmm. confusion into the house of God. You're depending on the wickedness of the world to provide mm-hmm. for the ministry of the Lord. And I just don't see that.
Tony, you sound like that second temptation that the enemy brought forth there. You brother, you going too far now.
Amen. Amen.
But really and truly, for Billy Graham to, he began his ministry by seeking, he had to have so many endorsements from local churches. It
mm-hmm.
didn't matter whether Unitarian, didn't matter whether it was Catholic,
all
didn't
right.
matter what it was, but they had to endorse him, so many endorsements
mm-hmm.
in order for him to come. And to me, that's crossing the line. From
Amen.
from very day Amen. One, in his ministry, it carried forth that same pattern mostly all through his evangelistic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know it's a very wealthy ministry,
mm-hmm.
no doubt about that, because of the cross sections of people that you know were involved.
Yes, right.
Amen.
But do we have to discriminate a little bit as to where the money coming from? Like you say, Tony.
Yes,
yeah.
we do.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. If we're on the same mind, let's just say as Muslims, as a Muslim group here,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
let's just say homosexuality. We all agree on homosexuality, Christians and Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
But can we really stand before some type of a building and protest together? No.
Okay.
We can. And the reason why is because later we're going to disagree on something else. And who is that? Christ.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
okay.
The unity of Christ is the foundation before we go forward with anything.
Amen.
So
Amen.
In the example of Billy Graham, if he's getting these endorsements, let's just say from Unitarians or, mm-hmm. or the Catholics, for mm-hmm. instance, mm-hmm. now we are yoked together with the Catholics mm-hmm. spiritually.
Right. Right.
And that's mm-hmm. just, that's just a bad, that's just a bad situation.
And the scripture says, how can two walk together?
Amen.
Unless.
Except they what?
Agree.
So it shows a pattern of agreement whether it's really there or not. Am I right about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely Amen. Right. That's mm-hmm. absolutely right. And like you said to begin this, Pastor, I think the Lord really used Billy Graham in a mighty way to bring some people to salvation.
Right.
But now there's still, and at several points, he did compromise.
Yes.
On many issues, he did compromise. And,
that's right.
And it sounds to me personally like there had to be a little bit of pride involved in that too. When you can be demanding on what's got to happen before you deliver the gospel of Christ, before you, this free gospel that you've been mandated to give away to all the world, and you put stipulations on what has to happen before you do, that's a form of disobedience.
Right. And those same churches that would endorse the movement, the revival movement, they had to purchase so much newspaper coverage.
Wow.
It had to be advertised in the major newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he had to have that before he would agree to come. You know, in other words, seem like you're not dependent on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, I understand using the media. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, demanding this has to happen before I can consent to come. That seems like it's pushing a little too far, isn't it?
It seems like it. Amen. I mean, who are you trying to please, truly?
Yeah,
I mean, with these type of demands, who are you truly trying to please?
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, is it the Lord?
Right.
Or is it all these people who purchase these newspapers on a daily basis?
Right.
What are you spreading into who? And more important than that, for what motive?
Okay.
For what reason?
For what reason?
God will take your reason and use it for his purpose.
Right.
Because we know his word will not come back void. So,
sure.
But what's your heart's motive?
And though we're not faithful in staying within the boundaries, God is faithful.
Amen. Amen.
And God's going to reach the people that he has ordained to reach.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
That's the point that I really wanted to be made is because we may be critiquing Billy Graham's techniques on what he's done and compromised.
Okay.
But we have to understand, even as ministers, that whatever we do, whatever we say, does not circumvent the power of God's sovereignty to do his will.
Amen.
You know,
very good.
My shortcomings, or maybe I didn't really present the gospel the best way I should have,
especially
growing up in the ministry,
it
does not void God's plan on that man in the congregation.
Amen.
So we don't want people to get offended on what we're saying about his ministry, because I'm quite sure some people are solidly saved through his ministry.
Sure.
But we're talking about the compromise scripturally that he has done.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You know, in situations too, Kevin, I'm thinking like, you know, Pastor was saying, you know, some of these businesses, you know, you can say, well, unsaved business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he demanded that they kind of contribute.
Yes.
You know, and to me, like you was talking about the sovereignty of God. See, God can use that business with that unsaved owner there, you know, to bring in believers.
Amen.
And he can hear the word.
Amen.
You know, people in his business can hear the word. See, he's thinking he's doing it to get more filthy lucre.
Whatever.
But God can use it to where that whole business and everybody that come in there can hear the word of God by witnessing to somebody and be saved.
Amen.
Well, then the Lord God use, I think we can all agree with this, King James, we can agree that he wasn't a moral, too moral of a man at all.
Exactly.
But didn't the Lord use his money to bring her his word in our language?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In our language, a very accurate account of his word in our language. So we're not putting God in a box.
We're not restricting the Lord and saying
what he can or can't do.
And all of us can relate to this. We teachers and preachers, most every time when I get through preaching message, I feel like I just hadn't done
enough.
I just hadn't done enough. You know. Yeah. And but yet still, we believe that God will use that.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Will clarify, and God will still use our weak vessels as we are, you know.
Amen. Right. Amen.
There
are too many examples in the Bible on where God used rocks, donkeys, evil kings, the Amen. Nebuchadnezzars, Amen. The Nimrods.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. The ravens. So we see that the sovereign God who has a plan
yes.
will use whatever he wills, mm-hmm. even a watered-down, compromised gospel.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. We thank God for that, you know. And but like I say, I've got a lot of books, and I read a lot of books on Billy Graham. I've been reading them ever since he, you know, his ministry, following his ministry all along.
Mm-hmm.
But and I one statement that I read that one of his chairmen, one of the campaigns, I think it was in Columbus, Ohio, that I read that one, and he said that Jesus' death on the cross was not the will of God. And don't y'all say that anymore.
Mm.
Wow.
His campaign. That's in the book.
Wow.
Jesus' death on the cross was not the will of God, and don't y'all say that anymore.
Mm.
Brother, that don't sound right to me. What about you guys?
He totally Amen. Disagreeing with Paul, because Paul said if he didn't rise from the dead, we might as well go to the house.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
We have no hope.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's right. You know, and the Bible says distinctly and clearly that it pleased God.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
To bruise him on that tree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I mean, either God's wrong or Billy Graham's wrong. Now, you make your choice. I solemnly made mine.
Right, amen.
Let God
amen.
Be true and every man be
right,
a liar.
Right, amen. Right. And, but you notice Billy Graham would say a lot about the cross. He always talked about the cross. That's
mm-hmm.
a landmark,
mm-hmm.
but not the blood.
Oh, boy.
Huh? And I think on one occasion I read where he was asked why he didn't say much more about the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And his remark was something to the effect that, well, I leave that up to the pastors.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
To expound on the blood. So, I mean, how can you separate that?
No, you can't.
No.
Okay. Well, you know, these, like say, I've read all these. And see, it just seemed kind of odd to me that you can preach the gospel and not and omit the blood in your messages, you know.
Right.
But this is what he's done. But you know, also his association with the Catholics has always been a long, you know, mm-hmm. He's got a real close relationship with the Catholic Church, and we know that their salvation doctrine is definite by works.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
By
Amen.
Works. So how can we come together when we believe in that we're saved by grace? Not by works.
Solely by grace.
How can we buddy-buddy with an organization that truly believe that salvation is by works, baptism,
sacrifice.
Penitence,
Amen. Right. Amen.
And on
right.
and on
That's
and on.
Right.
I mean, it's such a broad difference there. How can we bridge that gap? But he has been very close to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
In all these many years.
Wow.
And, Amen. I think that's crossing the line, brothers.
Mm-hmm.
To generally say, just to answer your question, the motivation has to be something else other than preaching the gospel.
Yeah, it has to be.
Okay.
Now, what that is, of course, we don't, you know, specifically know,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be something other than preaching the gospel.
Right, right.
And the Bible says, more than likely, like Minister Dudley said, it's filthy lucre.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, we see, especially in our time, people in the generation we live in, names like Billy Graham, you know, Charles Stanley is another one of our great
mm-hmm.
church leaders.
Yes.
And he mm-hmm. has a son who says a lot of heretical things and just simply
mm-hmm.
that simply is degrading to the word of God. When you say that the Bible is no more than a 2,000-year-old book,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and God said that he put his word before his name, his word, everything, his word is going to be here when everything else is gone.
That's
when
right.
God puts so much importance on his word
mm-hmm.
and you put none at all and say you are a minister of that very word you're saying
mm-hmm.
that is only an old book, then
yes.
Then we, and people, the sad part about this is there are thousands
mm-hmm.
thousands of people following these men.
Well, but that's why we talk about leaders today, because the effect that it has from the top down. Even ministries today that try to pat them there. Ministry, absolutely, because they want to grow, they want to be large and big in their ministries. So they're looking at the techniques and the patterns that were set before. That's why we're kind of looking at those, because it's trickle down. Mr. Pierce, read us Luke there. You got it right there. Luke 6 and 22, Luke 6 and 26. Read those for us, please, those two verses.
Luke 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company.
Okay. Yes.
And shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake.
Yes.
Amen.
6:26. Woe unto you.
Yes.
When all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets.
Yes.
Two very good, two very good scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I remember when I was born again and the Lord started convicting me about my habits.
Okay.
I told my friends was that I was saved, and they were okay with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But when I told them I wanted to stop drinking, they got offended.
Lord. Yes, yes.
They were okay with me being born again. Hey, man, you know I'm a Christian. But I can't go to the club with you and smoke and drink no more.
Right.
For some reason, that offended them.
Yes.
And
yes.
Because of that, they left my company. They left me.
Amen.
You know, when we're receiving Christ, we think that it's a lot that we have to do by making all these lines. But if we follow the Holy Spirit, people will leave us.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
People
Amen.
Will leave us.
No doubt.
The Lord, he'll separate.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Like I said, and your friends could have been in situations where they seen other believers said the same thing you said, but they went with them.
Right.
They went to the club with them. Right. They took a drink with them.
Yes.
And so if they could do it, you could do it too.
Okay. So it trickle down.
That's the
very thing, man, right there is, are you just a Christian by profession?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or are you truly born again?
Born again.
See, there's a difference there. Because everyone who say they're Christian and not Christian.
Amen.
And that's why this message today, this radio broadcast, is so important today, because it does matter how you do it.
Amen.
How you live.
Yeah, amen.
You know, God calls for us to accept this salvation and live a certain way.
Live
the way he has mandated and commanded us to live.
Amen.
Anything else will not be accepted by God.
Amen.
It may be accepted by the world.
Amen.
You know, they can get along with you as long as I don't have to give up my two girlfriends and my wife, you know, and as long as I don't have to do any of that, they can get along. They don't mind you being a Christian.
Right.
But what happened to John the Baptist when he told Herod it wasn't lawful for him to have his brother's wife.
Amen.
So it's the same difference.
Be not unequally yoked together.
Okay,
that's right.
And beware when all men speak well of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm convinced, brother. I'm just convinced. Now, I would like to have a larger group of people to minister to. Amen. I think all of us. But now, you can't compromise.
No.
Wanting to be popular, and therefore wanting to have a large following, and therefore compromise the word of God in order to do this, and then expect God's blessing to be upon you.
Amen.
But I think that's what's happened. People want to be popular. And if you preach God's word exactly the way God say preach it, I just don't believe you're going to have a large crowd.
Amen.
Well, I agree with that also, because Jesus said they hated you because of me.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're preaching him.
Right. Exactly. That's right. Amen. You took my words, but that's exactly right.
Amen.
If the Spirit of the Lord is present,
then
there's just something that people find reproachable, repulsive about it.
Amen.
And very few don't submit to that.
Amen.
You know, and Kevin, thinking about it too, you know, it makes me think about, you know, if the leader would stand up and preach the word and continue with the word, uncompromising word, you know, but they get pressure from the membership a lot of times, you know. And one particular situation we can all look at right now, Halloween is coming up.
Okay.
And a lot of your churches, compromise with the world and say, well, we'll call it Hallelujah Night.
Hallelujah
Night.
Trunk or Treat.
Trunk or Treat.
Yeah, they're going to rename it with the same demonic concept.
Yeah, but if the head would stand up and said, no way, we're bringing that in here, like you said.
The origin of that thing.
There you go, pal.
The origin of that celebration is demonic.
It's demonic.
And you cannot dress it up. Amen?
So are you saying, I'm listening to this broadcast, and I could see somebody coming to me at work right now, Kevin, you know we got 20,000 members at our church. So you saying I got a false church? You saying that every church has to be small? No, that's not what we're saying.
No.
What we're saying is that in the Bible, there were never large numbers like that at one time.
Never.
There were never large numbers like that. And if you do see the trend of these, churches today, there's a watered down gospel. There's a compromise somewhere that the world is drawing the congregation and not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, gentlemen, we know even you can go all the way back to the Old Testament. We would all probably agree that the prophet Jeremiah was a mighty man of God. He was a mighty man of God. Now, how many people did the Bible say he saw saved?
None. Who has believed our report?
Amen.
Who has believed our report?
But he still stood faithfully on what he knew God told him to do.
And Jesus said, this is an evil generation.
Wow.
So you mean in this evil generation, we can preach the gospel and draw these great crowds, and the impact that great crowd has upon that city or that community is zero?
It's very possible.
There's something wrong with that picture.
Something wrong with that picture.
But like you say, I think we compromise wanting to be popular, wanting to be accepted, don't want to be criticized or ostracized. So many times we kind of fall in line with the program in order to pacify the people as well as, you know, keep things running so-called smooth.
Amen.
Don't forget the domination of certain congregants that have leverage on the pastor.
On the pastor. Okay.
That's a very true thing.
True.
Brother, that's a very true thing.
At work just the other night, I was asked, do they set me down when I preach too long? You know, more than 15 minutes, I think they say, something like that.
I said, no,
I'm blessed and fortunate to be at a church where my people love the Word of God.
Amen.
I have to catch a second breath to try to feed all of them. They want me to stay up there forever, you know. But a lot of churches are controlled by the outward administration, you know.
Amen.
But we just thank God. But you know, something else. Let me share something else. Now we're talking about Billy Graham and his association and relationship with the Catholic Church. There's something wrong with that, brother. He's accepted an honorary degree from the Catholic
Church. Okay.
You know, I mean, little things like that, you know. And one guy, I read in the book that one guy came to Graham and said he was not saved. He was in the Catholic Church. He was not saved. But he asked Graham, could you help me with this? And he said to him, well, we're all Christians, so you need to go to your priest and ask him to help you.
That's
in the book.
Send him to man.
Send him somewhere else now. Yeah. You know that their religion is by works, right?
That's right.
Can we be saved through a work religion, brother?
No.
Well, why would I send him, to the priest to get information about how to be saved, rather than me talking to him right there on the spot?
That's right.
Amen.
Is something wrong with that, brother?
Yeah, absolutely.
Little bit of things like that, we know that's not according to the Word of God. He's also said on one occasion that he performed weddings in the Catholic Church. Mm. You know, this is a pretty close relationship, brothers, you know. And the doctrine that he knew the doctrine, but that's a compromise, you know. We know we shouldn't be associating, you know, come out from among them mean come out.
Amen, come out.
From those that are half committed. Brother Pierce? Or whoever.
Well, there are a lot of things we can truly disagree on. We don't have to see directly eye to eye on everything, but there are some basic tenets of doctrine that we cannot, like salvation. Salvation, we have to be in agreement on salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone.
Amen.
Now, if we can't agree on that off the bat, then we can't go any further with spiritual things. There's no way. There's no way. So, you know, but we're dealing with a lot of that people today, and then we... It, in the churches. So we need to beware of that and really use discernment to know it when we see it. We see them kick a pastor out in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, voted them out of the church, ran them out because they had a speaker come speaking with them who was Usama Dagdop about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So the church board got together and voted the pastor out because there were a few protesters outside protesting against the speaker, against truth. Against truth. All he was doing was reading the generous Quran. It wasn't hate speech.
Right.
But the heat came from the protesters. And the board got together and ran this man out of town.
Right
here in Minnesota.
They all agreed to cross the line and to push the pastor out because he's standing for truth. And I think there's probably a lot of cases like that we don't hear about, brother.
Amen.
But God has called us to stand forth firmly on the truth. You know, and he's a great friend of the Jesuits.
Oh, boy.
And we know the Jesuit was performed by the Catholic Church to be like a Gestapo against Christianity.
KGB.
Right. But he invited Jesuit priests to come to his meetings, his crusades, brother. And knowing that these brothers have their goal is to persecute Christians and to stamp out anything that doctrine is not like the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you invite them to come sit on the podium in your crusade, brother? It's just something wrong with that picture to me.
It is.
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
Well, the Bible, Titus tells us they crept in unawares. It was subtle.
Yes.
You know, it was subtle. And without the sense of discernment, the God-given sense of discernment, you'll miss it.
Amen.
Miss it. You'll get caught up in the hype that we talking about. Pastor, you mean Billy Graham, the great crusader Billy Graham?
Right.
We'll
get
caught up in that and neglect truth.
Yeah. And the Jesuit priest, this is what he said. Now, I'm reading out what's in the book now. I just caught a few excerpts on the book here. I never heard Billy say anything negative about the Catholicism. Huh? Never heard it. That's what he said. And that's what he really appreciated for Billy Graham, because he did not say anything negative about the Catholic Church.
Amen.
Brother, I'm going to tell you, that is a compromise.
That is.
And they speaking well of him. Why? Because he has compromised in those areas, the Word of God. And we got movements today, young evangelistic movements today. They tried to pattern their ministries in the same fashion by being inclusive. The ecumenical movements and so forth by joining all these movements, you know, and that's against the Word of God, completely against the Word of God. But the Lord says that I can come out from among them, right?
Amen.
Let's look away from him. We ain't whipping on Billy Graham today, but we can come down to today to Saddleback Church.
Oh boy, yeah.
Huh? Rick Warren in the Purpose River. The Purpose River. Now, I know y'all have seen those books. I got a couple copies at home, and I thumbed through them and read as much as I could stand, you know. But he has formed a worldwide movement. His book sold over 20 million copies of that book. And let me tell you something, brother. When you can sell that many books, you can just about put your finger on the fact that
ain't
100%. It's soup with a little meat in it, but it ain't got much truth in it, you know.
That's
his main what I see he has done, and the doctrine that he seems to have spread, is that God wants you to live out your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
God has a purpose for you. But now what he keeps saying over and over in his book, that God don't want you to feel guilty. You can't carry out your purpose if you carry guilt round upon you.
Ooh-wee.
Well, that's it.
Guilt, I mean, is that something like conviction? Is that something like conviction of your sin?
You just said it.
And you mean God don't want you to be convicted about your sin?
That's what he said, brother.
Wow.
That's what he's saying. God don't. If you're going to be guilty, you're not going to be able to fulfill your purpose. You must have your heart and mind free of guilt. And then he does not go into details about the Holy Spirit conviction. If the Holy Spirit never convicted you of your sins,
amen,
you never felt guilty, and you ought to feel guilty every day.
Every day. That's right.
Amen. Right. Because Amen. Even though we're trying to live for God and live for the Lord, but there's still things that we don't do that we should do.
Right. That's right. Right. That's right.
And we ought to feel guilty when God tell me to share the word with a person and I neglect to do that.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That ought to eat me alive. Mm-hmm.
It does.
But according to Mr. Warren here, that if you carry that kind of guilt, your purpose is going to be sidetracked, and you're not going to be able to fulfill your purpose because of that guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about unrepentant sin? Well, can you fulfill your purpose with unrepentant sin when God has plainly told us don't even bring your gift to the altar? If you don't have that straight,
even though he does not put emphasis upon that in the book that I read, but yet and still, brethren, as I said again, you cannot rule out guilt, no way, because we have to feel guilty every time we do not obey God fully.
It's what drives us to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
You know, and. When you were saying that, you know, it made me think about, you know, in the scripture, you talk about the Holy Spirit reprove, you know, and, you know, for that, you know, and it's like, you know, we have leaders, you know, that stand up and then compromise with people like this. And when you were talking about Billy Graham a little while ago, it made me think about the scripture I'd read in Ephesians 5:11.
Okay.
And it said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Okay.
See, it ought to be somebody in the congregation, somebody amongst the midst of these brothers, these men, these highly decorated men.
Amen.
Somebody in the midst of them that should stand up and reprove. It's just like David did him when he wanted to number the people.
Right. Sure.
He said, this is not good.
And he said it, Bill. Mm-hmm. Knowing that his life was,
and that's right. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely.
But he stood up though.
Yes.
When your motives are the numbers,
okay,
are the numbers, then you know you won't step out or stand out or stand against this falsehood.
Yeah.
Because you've compromised. That's what this very broadcast is about.
Mm-hmm.
You've already compromised for something else, for something that you consider is greater than the pleasures of pleasing an almighty God.
Amen. Yeah. On page 58 and 59, he said, I believe God made you for his purpose. And then he quoted John 1:12, as men received him, them gave him power to become sons of God. But he would not quote that last verse.
That last verse.
Huh? He's got to be in the will of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. He left
but
that out.
Like you got a purpose and you can fulfill that purpose
if
you just do certain things, brother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that by itself. Forbes magazine said that he was praised him for being a master of business, the way he transacted business. CFR, they praise him. They praise him. Brother, when these people praise you, when the Council of Foreign Relations praise you, good Lord Almighty, you know there's something wrong there.
Something wrong there.
That model has a problem with weakening Christians. It's basically what I grew up with. You know, the Lord got a plan for your life.
Yes.
The Lord got a plan for your life. He's planning to do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, it goes back to what we said earlier in the broadcast, that we don't count on the suffrage following the example of Christ.
Christ
suffered, and if we're to follow the example of Christ like the Bible teaches, we're to suffer.
So
when these people come across that suffrage, they're like,
whoa,
what's this?
This guilt thing, what's this?
I shouldn't feel any guilt. I'm a Christian because God has a plan for my life.
That's
the wrong presentation of the gospel that's so popular today.
Yes. And you're not going to have $20 million in your war chest if you preach the gospel. Brother, it's just not going to happen.
Amen. Earlier, we read a passage from 2 Corinthians
and
6 and 17 where it reads, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate,
saith
the Lord.
Yes.
That's usually where they put the period, right there.
Okay.
The next line said, and touch not.
All right.
The unclean thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I will receive you.
Okay. Okay.
So they leave that part out. So that's the only way you can fulfill their purpose is to leave that out.
Yes.
Because it's got to be all right for them to mingle with what God has told you to come out from among if you leave that part of the scripture out.
Amen.
God says, touch not the unclean thing,
Amen.
And then I will receive.
Amen.
Amen.
And we see basically the same thing we see in the young guys ministry in California there. What's his name again?
Woods.
Basically the same thing. A young guy, you know, that has drawn a large crowd, but has not preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. No judgment, no hell, none of these things. And brother, that's not preaching the whole gospel. And Paul said, I have not shunned to preach unto you
the whole gospel
of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you notice the trends on what's said today, basically the sovereignty of God is just left out. You know, we have God who has his creation and what his will is for his creation. But the way that the gospel is presented today is whatever you're desiring, you can have it. And that doesn't line up with the way that the biblical gospel is.
Amen. Amen. That's so true. Brothers, I think we just about come to the end of our time now. Isn't that right?
Right.
And praise God, you know, when you're having fun, times go real fast.
Yeah.
We thank God for this discussion. And we hope and pray that someone has been enlightened and someone has been helped through what God has put on our heart to discuss today.
Amen.
And at this time, we're gonna ask our brother Tony to ask God blessing upon us as we close out the broadcast. And but we hope to see you again next week. Praise God!
Oh,
we look forward to coming back, and there's more of God's truth that we must discuss. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Tony.
Amen. It's about his man. Father God, we thank you for this time that you've allowed us to sit here and just fellowship and talk amongst each other and to the general public about the truth of your word, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I ask that you just reach out and touch hearts to receive this word, Lord. Let them know that it wasn't meant in any kind of vindictive way. Nothing personal.
Yes, Lord.
We just want your truth, Lord. Your truth to touch hearts and transform lives, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We know when your word is being compromised, Lord, the power is being severely decreased.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
God, I ask that you just let this broadcast spread amongst a lost and dying world, Father, as well as the ones who proclaim your name, Lord, to see your truth for what it is, Lord, life-saving, Lord, transforming, and just altogether wonderful.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I ask you for another opportunity to do this, to be obedient to your word, Father.
Yes.
Let us not say anything that's not pleasing or that is untrue in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.